I'm sure you've heard of him. His name was Vincent van Gogh, and he was a post-impressionist painter born in the 1800s. He was actually born in 1853, and he died in 1890 at the very young age of 37. And most of you know that he's one of the most famous painters. I think I have a picture of Vincent's here somewhere. Well, this is one of his most famous paintings, right? Starry Night. And then he also has a self-portrait that he did of himself, yeah. He's a post-impressionist painter. And most of you may know that he's one of the most famous painters out there. What you may not know is that he was the son of a Protestant minister. And in his 20s, he decided to go to seminary, and he went to seminary, and then he was called to preach at a very, very poor mining town in Belgium called the Borinage. And he went out to the Borinage. He was sent by this evangelism committee, and while he was there with this evangelism committee, they kept sending him stuff. And instead of using it for himself, he kept giving it to these poor miners. And the evangelism committee got very upset with him because he was giving away all the stuff that they were sending him. They'd called him to preach to the poor, but he was living an extremely destitute life. And as a matter of fact, he was living such a destitute life that the miners really didn't want to hang out with him. And so the whole thing kind of failed. And so then he kind of had this crisis of faith, and then he became a painter. Because what Vincent van Gogh didn't understand is that the people that were sending him the money had an expectation that he would use that money to kind of make sure that he was okay. It wouldn't do him any good if he were to die and all the people around him were still living there in poverty. They were sending him the goods and stuff so that he could stay healthy. He didn't understand that sometimes the organization that is created may be at different purposes than the people that they're called to serve. Now, this is a very interesting concept, and I want to spend some time this morning on this. You see, you have to understand the difference between being called to serve people as a representative of this congregation and being a follower of Christ. Now, they both have kingdom effect, but they both go about it differently in different ways. And if you don't understand the difference between the two, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble. There can be a lot of confusion, anger, hostility, division. So today we're continuing our sermon series on making loving disciples. First of all, we talked about how Jesus called us to go and make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father and Son and teaching all to obey I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. That's the first part. And then last week, we talked about this story about how we should love God and love our neighbor. It's this story about the man that came to Jesus, and Jesus told him, you need to love God and love your neighbor. And then the story continues. And the guy says, but wait a minute. He said, who's my neighbor? And so Jesus tells this story, the story of the Good Samaritan. And it's a very compelling story, and it's one that we really have to understand. On its surface, it looks like all we're supposed to do is love people, right? But if you really, really dig into what this story says, it can be mind-blowing. And so we're going to talk about this morning because it's a very important story, and I don't want you to miss the point. You see, when Jesus told this story, there were people there that needed to hear this story. This is exactly the story that they needed to hear because it was so true. If you were a priest or you were a Levite, you would not have crossed over the road and helped this guy. You'd have left him there. Why? There's a whole bunch of different reasons. Medical reasons, the guy was dying, you're not supposed to touch blood. I mean, there's just a bunch of stuff. But the bottom line is that he should have. And everybody knows that he should have. Everybody knew what the situation that Jesus was talking about. That the church at that time, the Jewish people at that time, would have been compelled to help the guy, but they'd have been forbidden to help the guy. And it creates a horrible situation. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. Because first of all, part one is this. The church And the individuals that make up the church are a little bit different. They are both involved on the same journey, which is to grow as disciples, but they go about it in a different way. So, for example, we have this church called Christ Lutheran Vale Church. And we gather together for worship on Sunday morning. We do worship. We have Bible study. We have ministries. We have buildings. We have all those facilities. I like to call that the greenhouse, right? If you look on your bulletin, the front of it shows a tree, which is our kind of image or emblem of what a loving disciple is, right? It's somebody who's firmly planted, and it's bearing fruit. That's what God's called us to be. And Christ Lutheran Vale Church is like the greenhouse where the trees are nourished and grown. You see, we are called to be disciples, but we go about it in two different ways. The church, Christ Lutheran Vale Church, does it by creating a safe space and creating resources so that the tree can grow. But there's a second part of it, which is this. You each individually are called by God to grow as disciples. It's not just the church's job to grow you as a disciple. It's also your job to grow as a disciple. So while we both have the same end goal, which is that you become a tree of oak, planted by the stream of living water, bearing fruit, while you are called to do that, we kind of both go it about in two different ways. One way is that you will grow as a tree, but the second way is that Christ Lutheran Vale Church creates the safe space for you to grow inside. Now, I know that sounds a little bit complicated, and I don't want to get into the depths of it too much, but you have to understand that that does come into play sometimes. Because some people conflate becoming a disciple to simply being a member of a church. That all I need to do to become a disciple is just show up to worship on Sunday morning. As long as I'm doing that, everything's okay. And now there's some truth to that, because when you show up for worship on Sunday morning, you are being cultivated. It is a safe spot. You are growing it as a disciple. But the purpose isn't church. The purpose of church is to grow disciples. You see the difference? Christ Lutheran Vale Church is here to help you grow as a disciple. And it's a very, very important distinction. Probably not something that you would really concern yourself about, but it does happen sometimes. For example, there's a church in Bisbee, Arizona, and the pastor got old. He was an older pastor. He got old and he died, and there was just a few people in this congregation. They said, oh no, we don't have a pastor. We're not a church anymore. Well, no, that's not true. You're still a church. And even though you don't have a pastor, you could still gather together for Bible study. You could still gather together as a body of Christ and do something to serve the community. You can still be churchly people gathered together. But what happens so many times is people equate, we're not a church unless we have a church building and unless we have a pastor. And if both those things don't exist, then we don't know what to do. But in the early church, they didn't always have a building. In the early church, they didn't always have a pastor. And there are churches today that sometimes lose their pastor and they're in an interim situation. Do they stop being church? No. Heavens, no. Actually, sometimes when they lose their pastor, the church actually does better because they don't have that guy anymore. You never know. The church can be church simply because two or more have gathered in Jesus' name to gather together to become loving disciples. It's an important distinction, and it's one that I want to make this morning because of part two. And part two is this: churches operate by rules. Churches operate by rules. When we gather together to form a thing called a church, what I call Christ Lutheran Vale Inc., or maybe it's the greenhouse. When we gather together, we set rules about how we're supposed to live, about who God is. Or we might gather together and we might have rules about what type of person we're going to call, or what are the qualifications of the person we're going to call to be the pastor. Or we might gather together and say, what are the standard doctrines that we're going to have as we gather together? Because churches need to have some rules. That's quite simply what it is. Now, see, this is the problem in the this is the problem of the Good Samaritan. Because in Jesus' day, the rule was that if you were Jewish, you just didn't associate with people on the side of the road, especially if you're a priest or a Levite. I mean, if you're a priest or a Levite, you're supposed to be holy, right? You're not supposed to touch blood. You're not supposed to, you know, get involved in that kind of stuff. That's somebody else's job. And so in the story, the priest and the Levite see this guy who's been robbed, and they just pass on by. And see, the thing is that they know, the people who are listening to this story with Jesus, the parable, they know the guy would have passed on by because that's the rule. That's what they're supposed to do. You don't want to go outside the boundaries of the rule. And yet, there's this guy lying on the side of the road, dying, and he's going to die unless somebody helps him and takes him somewhere so that he can live. You see, it sets up this idea about the difference between the organization and the individuals in the organization that make it up. How we will live, how we will operate, what are our legal ramifications? We have to have rules to live together as a congregation. We have to set up how we're going to operate. You may not know this, but sometimes we have to deal with legal entities, like to create an organization called Christ Lutheran Vail Church. When we build, we have to deal with the building department. We have to deal with their rules. And so Christ Lutheran Vail Inc., the greenhouse, has to operate differently depending upon who we're dealing with. And we want to create a safe space, and we want to make sure that that organization operates with integrity. And so we try to the best of our ability to do that. But it does set up some interesting things. Churches have to follow rules. Churches sometimes have to get involved. The business side of the church has to get involved in things sometimes we don't want to get involved with. For example, let's say that the editor of your local newspaper hated churches and was an atheist. You say, well, we don't want to support that newspaper. Well, yeah, but what if that's the only newspaper in town and you have to support that newspaper? And I'm not saying that that happens in our news, because I don't know, but that could be a situation that could happen. Sometimes the church has to operate differently based upon who they're dealing with. That's the whole point of what Jesus said. But the other thing, and this is probably the most important part of this, is that the individuals of the church operate by a different standard. They operate by grace. You get that? They operate by grace. The reason why this parable is so effective is because people would have known what the priest and the Levite should have done. They should have gone over and helped the guy. Why didn't they? Well, probably because the people of their day, the Pharisees, would have come down like a ton of bricks on the priest and Levite and said, you did something you shouldn't have done. But Jesus came into this world to free us so that we can do what we're called to do, so that we can cross over the road, so we can sometimes bend the rules and do what we're supposed to do, what we know God is calling us to do. We as individuals can do that. We're called to do that. If you look at the whole life of Jesus, that's what he did. He wasn't supposed to do stuff on Sunday. He healed a guy on Sunday. That's breaking the rules. He wasn't supposed to talk to this woman at the well, and yet he did it. He wasn't supposed to go to the tax collector's house and eat, and yet he did it. How was he able to do it? Because he knew that he was loved by his Father. He knew that in all things, nothing was going to ever separate him from a Father who loved him. My friends, we've been loved by Jesus. We've been called to be his hands and his feet. And yeah, sometimes that means loving somebody that other people might, like, I can't believe you're associating with that person. That's the whole point. That's the whole point. I remember years ago, somebody came up to me and said, my uncle is involved in a behavior that I know is wrong. It is completely wrong. I'm called to the core of my body that it is wrong, and I don't know what to do about it. What should I do? Well, that's a loaded question. First of all, you have to look in Scripture and find out, is the behavior actually wrong, or is it just something that the world says is actually wrong? You know, it could be a difference there. So you have to really know your Scripture really well to understand, is this behavior a bad behavior, or is it a good behavior, or is it not? It doesn't say in Scripture. The other thing you might have to do is ask your uncle, Does your uncle believe in Scripture? Does your uncle believe in the authority of God? Or the other thing you might have to ask your uncle is this something that you feel called, that you want to live as a disciple of Jesus Christ? Or have you just basically thrown up your hands and say, well, I don't like the church. I don't really want Jesus. I don't really want the church. You have to answer those questions. I can't answer those questions for this person, but that person could. What I said is don't break the relationship, because nothing happens in the church without relationship. And if you break the relationship, you might be the only person that that person has in their life, the uncle has in his life, to be there to show the hands and feet and the love and the compassion of Jesus. Don't break that. It's a hard thing to do. It is a very hard thing to do, to love somebody who's unlovable and you know that everybody would yell at you or come down on you like a ton of bricks because you were loving the unlovable. But the grace of Jesus Christ is that there is nothing that you can do to separate you from God's love, and He's redeemed you so that you can love the unlovable, love the marginalized, love those who society may think should be thrown away. That's what Jesus has called us to do. Each of us individually been called to love in the best way that we can. That's the important thing about this parable, is that the church, the priest and the Levite, living by the rules, couldn't cross the street, couldn't love the guy. But you and I, because we've been redeemed by Jesus, have been freed to love anybody for any reason. That's what we've been called to do in Christ Lutheran Vale Church. Vincent van Gogh. Actually, you may not know this, but his last name was Van Gogh. He was white, Belgian. But he never signed his paintings Van Gogh because he didn't want people mispronouncing it and thinking he was a French painter and pronouncing his last name Van Gogh. But it's not. It's actually Vincent van Gogh. It doesn't roll off the tongue, but if you're German, it's music to yours, I suppose. I don't know. Maybe he did the right thing in giving all of this stuff away to the people in Borograd. Maybe he did the wrong thing. I don't know. What we do know is that because he did what he did, he was kicked out, and the world lost a compassionate guy on fire for Jesus. But the world also gained a very troubled painter who ended up being one of the most, recognizable painters in the world. I don't know if Vincent van Gogh went down the right path or not. But what I do know is this. When Jesus calls us to be loving disciples, sometimes what that means is that we are called to love a world around us individually. And the world around us may look at us funny and say, I can't believe you're loving that person. And the grace of Jesus is, I've forgiven you. I love you. There's nothing that could ever separate me from you. So you just keep loving. You just keep loving the world around. In Jesus' name, amen.